Green is proudly sponsored by Pick and Pay, committed to a sustainable future.
Yes, and every Friday morning we are green, and we try and be green for the rest of the week until the following Friday. What do you have for us today, John?
Yeah, well, I'm afraid the political season is in full swing. You're probably the only person who doesn't know that. No, I'm just being... I'm sure you do. We'll soon be wishing fervently, all of us, for a little relief from politicians' antics and expostulations. But bear with me for this one edition of Being Green. It's something we should be concerned about because it's about health, our health, and more importantly, the health of our children and grandchildren. The budget debate comes up next Wednesday, and that fateful event, which creates such ground-shaking consequences and consumes the headlines. And one of the more understandable things for us laypersons will be the controversial sugar tax, rather the tax or excise on sugary drinks, which was flighted last year by the minister as a sort of early warning. Will it be introduced next tax year? Many hope it will be. Many hope it won't be. The UK is ahead of us in the stakes, and the Chancellor George Osborne announced the tax last year to be phased in over a two-year period. One of the supporters and tireless lobbyists for the sugary drinks tax, who was surprised and delighted at the announcement in the UK, was a well-known celebrity. You'll recognise the voice, I am sure.
Yep, 100%. I have to be honest, designing a campaign, creating a documentary to tell the story about the logic behind, why sugary sweetened drinks, the single largest source of sugar in our kids and teenagers' diet, was due a tax, and why we should back it up. I mean, the word tax is not something that people see for good, but this is a tax for good. To be honest, I never thought I'd get it, ever. It was always the logic behind it, and it was always the story. And I knew that even that alone would shift the industry. But I think today, surprisingly and fascinatingly, we've seen Mr. Osborne come out with a bold, brave tax that's fair. It's got 2 years, it's in two bands, so it's really pushing reformulation. And it's about protecting our kids. I'm shocked, but in all the right ways. I'm humbled, yeah. Actually.
Well, how much did, all your knowledge of it and the banding and all the complications in it, how much do you think of that helped the Chancellor to design the announcement? How much contact have you had?
Well, we've been talking with the government on and off for the last sort of half a year, but I mean, we don't have total access. Really the only thing I can offer, I mean, I have no right to be there, but we do dig deep, we do research hard, we've travelled around the world to try and tell this story, from Mexico put their own tax in and have seen the positivity a billion pesos brought in and drop off of consumption coming in. We've tried to put all the evidence and information from us, but also a whole group of other NGOs in front of Mr. Osborne and Mr. Cameron. We knew the childhood obesity strategy is the real thing that's going to shift the dial on child health. But the hard thing and the clangor that no one ever wanted to agree on or talk about was the sugary drinks tax, regardless of the logic and regardless of the long, 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 long list of institutions of care from all over health that have supported it. But this is bold and brave, so it just makes me very excited. Because look, ultimately, it's about stop the talking, stop the bad news, let's fix it.
Yeah, that's him, you guessed right, celebrity chef Jamie Oliver, talking on Sky TV. He's emphatic, let's fix it. So that's the sugar tax in England. How are things going here in South Africa? I've been reading through the parliamentary public hearings on the proposed tax, and I must say, I don't quite know where I stand on the idea. Certainly all the health lobbies, the South African Medical Association, the Centre for Non-Communicable Diseases, the various university researchers on health, the World Health Organization, everybody on the health side, they say that obesity is a big problem, that anything that will go to cut down on sugar consumption must be a good thing. But I wonder, do taxes, however they're couched, this one would be an excise charge on sugar-sweetened beverages, SSBs, that's its official title. Do taxes actually work? The Sugar Growers Association are naturally against a tax. They do have some cogent points. They sell about one-third of their production to the drinks industry, 600,000 tons a year of sugar. First of all, who gets the revenue from the tax? Does it just go into the general treasury, or will it be earmarked for specific projects which will go to improve health communication and education? What about jobs, especially small-scale sugarcane farmers, who would apparently be hard hit by a tax? And it is possible and quite profitable to switch sugar production to biofuels, for instance, for energy conservation. But that's not been tested or even considered at this stage or talked about much. So many questions, no easy answers. I must recommend the live feed of the parliamentary public hearing provided on the web by Fin24. If you have the time, have a read through and see how you feel. It's really interesting. We'll post the link on our Being Green page on FMR's website.
Thank you, John. Fascinating discussion there, and certainly the passion there. You can't mistake it from Jamie Oliver. Mm. But I think that the definite thing that something must be done. As you said, obesity is a big problem, if you excuse the turn of phrase. But education with regard to nutrition as well, it has got to be involved in this whole process, I think.
Mm. So yeah. it's something that, typical environmental issue, it touches everything.
Yeah, and it's all well and good to make sweeping generalizations and legislations, but you've got to back it up with how you're going to follow this up and how you're going to support the whole initiative.
This edition of Being Green was proudly sponsored by Pick and Pay, committed to a sustainable future. Every Pick and Pay store has a recycling center where you can drop off used batteries, plastic containers, ink cartridges, and CFL light bulbs. And as part of our online shopping service, we will collect plastic bags, plastic containers, and batteries for recycling directly from the homes or businesses of our online shopping customers. Not only do the recycling bins reduce the amount of waste sent to landfills, but money raised is donated to charity. Pick and Pay is committed to a sustainable future. FMR.